Chair recognizes Representative Whiting. Representative Burns.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'm sorry to rise again, but I think we're missing something here. I, too, take great offense to the men and women that protect us, protect the folks that are incarcerated, being referred to and equated with things that went on in Abu Ghraib. I, too, think there should be an apology forthcoming. I think it's reprehensible. What we are about to do, if you support this amendment and don't support the tabling of it, is going to put a lot of men and women, prisoners and staff, in great jeopardy. I think about the other mothers of the folks that will be put in jeopardy. When they're harmed, when they're hurt, when their throat is cut, who's going to apologize to them? I think it's naive for us to sit here and think that we can pass judgment on something we know nothing about any more than I could run a college. We can't sit here and run this prison. We have people in place to do that. Please take this seriously. Thank you.
Chair recognizes Representative Blue Hill. Representative Schatz.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, women and men of the House. First of all, I would make that apology. I'm sure that was not meant to come out that way. As I have said in my statements, I have nothing but the highest respect and regard for the staff, and I'm sure it was not meant to be said in that vein. That said, one, I would like to ask for a roll call. And number two, I would just like to complete the sentence. I know that Representative Sykes was scrutinizing the summary, and the last part of that sentence indicated excess of 1 week and states that this provision may not prevent the disciplinary process from proceeding in accordance with department rules for disciplinary hearings. So I think that the point is, in this event that was pointed out from last week, that that's such an offense that would not put this person out of an SMU setting because 1 week had transpired. Indeed, this violation would probably keep them in there for much longer than that until whatever due process took place. But again, I make my point that this amendment has been stripped down significantly and really, I think, again, provides support. It does not take back any of the assurances and tools that the staff needs to do their job on a day-to-day basis, and I think adds some construct to how we need to go forward in developing policies for the SMU in our state prison. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Representative Blue Hill, Representative Schatz has requested a roll call. North should order roll call must have expressed desire of 1/5 of members present. Sufficient number having requested a roll call. A roll call is in order. Chair recognizes Representative from Eddington, Representative Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, men and women in the House. Nothing in this amendment gets rid of the SMUs. Nothing in this amendment suggests taking away the SMU as a tool. What it does is ask to bring us in line with the 1973 consent decree and with the Madrid v. Gomez case that says putting people with severe, significant, pre-existing mental illness into solitary confinement is a problem. You don't need to get them out of the unit per se. You need to change the conditions of the confinement. The room itself is not the problem. The problem is how the room is used. If you can get out for more than 1 hour a day, possibly, and you can have a radio or you can get some of these things that other prisoners have, then it's not solitary confinement. I think that's reasonable. I think that's approachable and can happen through this amendment. And I would urge you all to vote in favor of its passage and against the indefinite postponement. I, too, am frustrated with a lot of the rhetoric flying around all over the place. If somebody wants an apology out of me, they can get it. I'm not here to tell you how to vote, but I am here to tell you it shouldn't matter in terms of the illness that is put upon you potentially by your terms of your imprisonment, whether you were a downed fighter pilot or whether you were a murderer or some of these horrible people that we're talking about. The condition itself creates potentially some bad things and some mental illness. And to me, we shouldn't be doing that to anybody. We certainly shouldn't be doing it to our military or somebody else's military, and we shouldn't be doing it to prisoners in the SMU. That's all we're saying. That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Chair recognizes Representative from Saco, Representative Valentino.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, permission to pose a question to the Chair.
Representative may proceed.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I voted for the previous question, and am I correct, though, in my reasoning that the current posture of the bill does not contain a fiscal note, but the amendment does? So if we vote for the amendment, we put it in jeopardy of going to the appropriations table. Could anyone answer that question, please?
Representative has posed a question through the chair to anybody who may care to answer. Chair recognizes Representative Blue Hill. Representative Schatz.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. My understanding is that the amendment, as you see it now, does have a fiscal note. I challenge that fiscal note, but indeed it has, and I think should be attached.
Chair recognizes Representative from Mount Vernon, Representative Jones.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker, men and women of the House. I just want to respond to the concern about my quote about Abu Ghraib. It was not an accusation about our current correction system. It was a concern that was shared to me by my constituents that we not ever have an institution that does that. It was not an accusation.
Chair recognizes Representative from Portland, Representative Harlow.
Madam Speaker and ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'd like to direct a question through this chair.
Representative, may proceed.
I've heard how many policemen are going to be killed in correction centers. How many have been killed in the correction centers so far in the state of Maine? My investigation, I found none.
Representative has posed a question through the chair to anybody who may care to answer. Pending question is the indefinite postponement of House Amendment A. All those in favor of the definite postponement will vote yes. Those opposed, vote no. A roll call is in order. Chair will open the vote. Sergeant Arms, secure the chamber. First call to absentees. Second call of absentees. Have all now voted? Our members in their seats who have not voted. All now voted. Chair will close the vote. Clerk on total chair will announce the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative and 33 in the negative. House Amendment A has been indefinitely postponed. Chair recognizes Representative from Hallowell, Representative Treat.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I present House Amendment B with a filing number of H-823 to Committee Amendment A and move its adoption, and I do wish to speak briefly to my motion.
Representative from Hallowell, Representative Treat, presents House Amendment B with a filing number of H-823 to Committee Amendment A and moves its adoption. The clerk will read House Amendment B.
House Amendment B to Committee Amendment A does have filing number of H-823. Amend the
Chair
amendment by
Representative
striking Hallowell, out
the Representative
substantive
Treat, moves
it
further reading of
the
House Amendment
following.
B dispense with this pledge of the House. To vote, the representative may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and men and women of the House. I know we've had a long debate on this, and I will try to keep my comments very focused on the amendment that is before you. I was not one of the members of this House that did sign on to the original bill, and I must say that I came to the caucuses that we had on this with an open mind, trying to learn everything I could on all sides of this issue. And I think that I have continued to learn, as I have here today, from many of the members who spoke very much from the heart on all sides of these issues. I found myself in the position of being uncomfortable with the choices put before me, and I say this with the greatest of respect for the committee, and particularly the chair of the committee, Representative Haskell of Portland. In fact, that respect has really grown after seeing the level of the fear, I guess I would almost say, that I've heard about the resolve that we have already, the report that we have already voted in favor of, which merely asks the commissioner to look at the policies of his or her own department and come back to the legislature in 2 years with a report. That's all it does. Okay, that's all it does. And, you know, I had a concern about that because I feel, particularly from the point of view of someone who has had a good deal of contact with persons with mental illness, starting many years ago when I chaired the Health and Human Services Committee, and we went through the AMHI consent decree, and continuing on to this day, a real concern about the treatment of people who are mentally ill and whether or not our policies are sufficiently focused on their needs, as well as, and I certainly share the concern, as well as the safety of everyone in that facility, in our prison facility. And so I also come to this after being asked the question by an advocate for the union that represents the workers at those prisons, saying, well, and what is your policy about where those prisoners are supposed to go if you pass this? And I did not have a good answer to that question. So this amendment is an attempt to get the answers to those questions, both on the one side, which is whether or not our policies and the implementation of those policies are sufficient and appropriate for persons with mental illness and for others. And on the other side, if we decide that there are needs there, what are we going to do about it? And so I just want to walk through what's in my amendment so that you know what actually is in it. First of all, and I thank the good representative from Portland, Representative Hink, for his work on Section 1, which is drawn from the mission statement of the Corrections Department. The mission statement on their website, it is drawn from that, but focuses on the particular policies of segregation and how those are carried out. And simply says it's a humane policy which focuses both on the inmate and on the correction system, and on the guard, on both, okay? A humane policy, and I truly believe that in this state, that's what we have, is a policy that is humane. But I have also heard that the implementation of that policy may or may not be consistently applied all across the state and throughout time. And that is a message that has come across quite clearly. The other concerns I have are that, and we talked about this at length in our caucus, and I know it has come up here on the floor of the House. Do we have issues about appropriate pay for the guards? It sounds to me like we do. What is the cost if we were to come up with a better policy? What is the cost of that, and do we have the money to pay for that? A good question. Data. I heard repeatedly in our caucus, and I've heard here today, well, we had statistics coming from other states, or I was given these statistics, somebody else was given those statistics. So part of this amendment is to say, well, let's just get the data so that we do know what's going on here and so that we have a common base to work from. So that is what is in this amendment as well. Now, I made a decision to move the study to OPEGA because I think it is a place that is neutral. And I am concerned that the Department of Corrections is opposing the resolve, the report B from the chair of the committee, opposing it, opposing having themselves look at this issue themselves. They're opposing that, and that concerns me. And I think that if we are to get something out of that study that has buy-in from the general public, from the department itself, from the people who work for the department, from those advocates and others who have raised these concerns, then I think it has to be done through a more neutral process. And it turns out that OPECA has already looked at the Department of Corrections and is willing to do this, to convene a work group to look at the specific questions that I have outlined here, which again come directly from the testimony, from the caucus discussion, and from here today, the exact same issues that I am hearing from everyone here today. My last concern about the report that I ask you to amend with this Amendment B is that the report back from the commissioner isn't until January 2011. January 2011. And I would like to see something, particularly the data, so that we can have good information here in the legislature. I would like to see something come back before then as an interim report. And so if you look at my amendment, you will see that it asks for that information, specifically the data, to come back to the committee and to the legislature before the next session, and then a final report in January of 2011. So there it is. I hope you will support it, because I think it just lays out in a little more detail what I think is a good idea, which is to have some review of this, to keep legislators in the loop thinking about this, to keep the department thinking about this. It does not in any way overrule or override the judgment of the department or make judgments about the department. If you read it, it's very carefully worded not to make judgments, but to say, let's get the answers and then decide if or what we might need to do from there. So I encourage you to support this amendment. Thank you.
Chair recognizes Representative Portland, Representative Haskell.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, men and women of the House, I move indefinite postponement of this amendment and will speak to my motion.
Representative Portland, Representative Haskell has moved the indefinite postponement of House Amendment B. The representative may proceed.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, men and women of the House. The work process that's set out in this amendment looks an awful lot like what the daily agenda of the correction of the committee is. Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee, on a fairly regular basis, both through the series of bills that we receive, as well as the number of times that we interact with the department, not just at the beginning of the session during the dog and pony show, if you will, but throughout all of our interactions with the department. The significant amount of information that's being asked for here is, frankly, in a very straightforward way, the responsibility of the committee to get and to provide. We have significant amount of information which we already have in front of us. And for any of those of you who have asked me about this bill in the halls, you know that I probably cornered you and talked to you until you were blue in the face, trying to provide the type of information that we received both during the hearing and during the number of weeks that we're here in session, as well as whatever we hope may be available to us from the presiding officers for work during this summer in order to continue to be sure that we do stay in touch with what goes on in the department. I am not a supporter of the process by which OPEGA's work is dictated by actions of the House. There is a committee for that work, and I think that this circumvents that. That's the choice of the maker of the motion, and I certainly can understand that, but don't feel that that working group would be any more effective than the current committee on criminal justice and public safety, asking those same individuals to come in front of us and provide that information. I would dearly love to have the kind of the data that the good representative asks for. In order to do that, however, I think that the extensive amount of work that would need to be done, both to go backwards and forwards with the kind of a system that could track inmates through our jail and prison system, I think it would be extraordinarily valuable. But I think that it would be significant expense in order to understand and have the kind of broad data collection, if you think about the number of points of information that would have to be put together in order to determine what the impact on any particular prisoner. Because like the kids who come into many of our systems, these inmates refuse to continue to come with either one diagnosis, one treatment plan, or frankly, even one crime. One of the problems that we have in determining data within our correctional system is the fact that people have multiple interactions at different times with multiple outcomes, and in order to be able to track that and then find a rational nexus between what you know about whether they spent 3 years in jail when they were 21 and a year and a half in prison and 2 years on probation for a number of different crimes would be a very extensive database and expensive. I think it would be wonderful to have, but I think that the kind of information that you are looking for is going to be difficult to obtain and at the very least extraordinarily expensive. So I would encourage you to reject this amendment and let us move forward with a process rather than lose the potential for making a positive impact with this bill. Thank you.
Chair recognizes Representative from Lewiston, Representative Wagner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, I rise in support of the amendment that is presented to us by Representative Treat, therefore against the indefinite postponement. We've heard arguments, information, data, stories on all sides of this issue of whether or not inmates at Warren or in our prison system in general are being handled correctly, especially those with mental health problems. We need to really know what is going on. We need to know whether or not they are being treated appropriately. Maybe they are. I don't know. And I don't think anybody in here really knows for sure. It's Representative Treat's proposal is exactly what we need. Look at the people who are on this proposed working group. A member who advocates for inmate rights. A person with an advanced degree in psychology who has studied the long-term effects of solitary confinement. An attorney who has expertise in due process procedures and inmate rights. A former inmate. Now, those are all loaded on one side, perhaps. But then we have a member of a union representing guards and other prison employees, the Commissioner of Corrections, and up to two employees of the Department of Corrections, and the director of OPEGA. This gives us a diverse group of people, many who have stake perhaps on both sides of the argument. And if they come up with some suggestions for possible changes, one of the real advantages of this kind of a group is that because there are representatives from the correctional system and from the guards, they may be able to buy into whatever changes are necessary and they will have a much more positive effect. I've been a mediator for the state of Maine court system for 30 years. I'm one of the great principles that all mediators operate under in terms of being successful is to get people who disagree about things to buy into whatever agreement they ultimately reach through mediation. And that's if they all have a chance to be heard. And this is an opportunity for that. So I strongly encourage us to vote down the indefinite postponement and then to vote up the amendment. Thank you, Madam Speaker.